Excellent.
I'll just pray. Yeah, Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have to say to us today through your word. And will you bless us as we hear what it is that you want to say. And God, will you bless Deborah. Thank you for all that she has done over these last 2 years and all that she's continuing to do to love and to serve us. And I pray today that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is that you have for us today from Deborah. Amen.
Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place in the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised his faith. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not for giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. Thank you. I'm not sure that appeared up behind me as I was reading, but it will appear over the next 20 minutes or so. So I'm going to keep that. We're going to be on Menti again this week. So, pray for me. Pray for me. But I have one more notice. Well, I have a few more notices, actually, before I start. This sermon series that we've put together is called In It Together. And that's all about sharing our lives together, sharing the good news and the bad news. Friends, it has been a week of good news, all right? And I'm going to share, I have the privilege of sharing some other things other than the part about Laura. And that in itself is fantastic news. That is such an answer to prayer. You've lost your seat, Gordy, I'm afraid. Right, more good news. David and Pina are now property owners and have moved into White Inch. That is fantastic. Bless you guys. We are so delighted. Pina's here, but probably hiding. There she is at the back. David's at work today, so can't be here. But that is such good news for them and for us as a church community as well. More good news, and Andy's not here actually, but I have permission to share this. Andy Reid has been appointed, I've written it down and now I've lost it. There we go. He's been appointed mission officer at Clyde Presbytery. So he has taken a role within the Church of Scotland, working west of here, north and south of the Clyde River, to encourage and to support strong mission focus across the presbytery. Now, any of you who know Andy and Joe know that Andy is a pastor of church planting, working in the Middle East with Christians. Yeah, this is right up his street. We hope he'll continue to be in and around White Inch. I'm not sure how that will work out, but that actually is fantastic news for Andy as well. So that's my second one. And my third one is just, I might even cry. This week, Amy and her two girls, Anne and Danielle, became citizens. Would you like to stand up, the three of you? Amy, Anne and Danielle, and now Kevin too, who has joined as well. We love you, we cherish you, we are so delighted at that news. And I just pray it is a blessing to you, as I know it will be a blessing to us. So, guys, that is amazing. That is just wonderful news. And I'll be praying for each of those groups of people at the end of my talk. Right, let's get going. I hope you've packed your lunch. Last week, we looked at what mattered to White Inch. And you'll be relieved to know that your views that Jesus is at the center to transform is actually also Laura's heart for church as well. I've actually known her. Our training overlapped a little bit. And I've attended a couple of, well, there weren't conferences, there were prayer retreats and a retreat in someone's house with her. And I know her a little. She has such a heart for Jesus. And last week, that's what you were looking at as well. Just, yeah, that this is our heart as well for White Inch. We are about looking at Jesus transforming us and transforming our community, those around us. That has not changed in the last 25 years, and it's not changing now, and it won't be changing in the future. And this week, Helen read to us from Hebrews 10, which is a call to keep going, to keep making Jesus the center of all we do. And so I thought that would be a good passage today to connect in with and just see how that can help us move forward from here. Oh, there we go. I'd forgotten I put the picture. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. The next slide, thanks. Changes can be big and be small. I remember when I was at high school, the teachers decided to change the direction that the students walked around the school. We had, instead of being every corridor and staircase both ways, it was changed to a one-way system around the school. Now, if you can imagine 500 kids all being told to walk somewhere different to get from one class to another, it caused a minor havoc, a bit of chaos. But actually, within a week or two, other than a few troublemakers, it was pretty much smooth and it had changed. It was fine. The new system worked better than the old. What about a bit bigger of a change? This is a photograph of Sweden, 3rd of September 1967. On that day, the Swedish government had decided that the cars would no longer drive on the left-hand side, they would drive on the right. And there was havoc. And it was pretty major havoc at the time. But it ended up saving more lives, all right? Because it then meant that Sweden was driving the same side of the road as the countries around it. So a bit of havoc, a bit of chaos is the change, but actually it was good in the long run. And actually, you know, when we're getting in a new routine ourselves, I don't know if any of you have ever driven abroad, but I can think of at least one occasion where Brian and I were on holidays in France, weary, tired, stopped for petrol, got back on the road and found ourselves on the wrong side. And at that time, you're very grateful for signs. You're grateful, Brian would say he is grateful, for his wife screaming at him from the passenger side, for any cars that beep their horn, for anyone that points you back to the right place again. All of those things, the signpost, the wife by your side, is aimed at correcting errors, keeping you on the straight and narrow. We're in it together. It benefits everyone on the road if we're all on the right side. So the original readers of the book of Hebrews had been through huge changes. They were no longer Jews. They were now Hebrew Christians. And this book of Hebrews acts like road signs for them, helping them to stay in the right path as they travel along with Jesus. And we too are a group of people who navigate life and faith together. Hence the title, we're in it together. We choose to live our lives together. And just as Hebrews helped the original recipients of the letter, so the book can help us too and keep us on the right path. It's written as an advice, as a sermon, actually, to a group of Hebrew Christians. Now, there are maybe first or second generation Christians, so they would all know, remember, perhaps have lived through the Jewish way of life, the Jewish culture. And it was probably written before AD 70, before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, if you can imagine yourself, as a first century Hebrew Christian. That is a huge transition. No longer do you need to spend your days worrying about keeping the rules, the commandments, the mitzvah, of which there are a total of 613 commandments and rules. All of that has been swept away, and we read instead that Jesus is enough. So all of those rules about personal hygiene, about diet, what you wear, bringing sacrifices to the temple, all of that is changed with the arrival of Jesus. So now, from the book of Hebrews and from the teaching they've received, our first century Christians understand Jesus is the Son of God. And he introduces a new covenant. Jesus is our high priest, and he surpasses all of the Levitical priests from the past. His once and for all sacrifice on the cross is superior to all of those sacrifices mentioned in the book of Leviticus under the Mosaic covenant. Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the one who has made atonement for the sins of the people. But like all us, you sometimes slip into the ways of the past, and the Jewish Christians will have done that. And so the message of Hebrews is that road sign that says Jesus is the better way. Christ is the way. Christ is supreme and completely sufficient for salvation. The first 9 chapters of this book lay out exactly why Christ is enough. And we are going to pick up at chapter 10. The next slide, thanks. Which starts, therefore, or since. The writer is telling his readers that they are now free because of what Jesus has done. No more needing to go out to find a spotless lamb. No need to go and find a couple of doves to present to the priest as a sacrifice for your sin. All of that is swept away because of Jesus' work on the cross. And for those of us here, it is Jesus' work on the cross and our acceptance of that which brings us into relationship with Jesus and the hope of eternal life with him. And that hope for us is the same hope that was there for those Hebrew Christians. And so that message is given to those Hebrew Christians who may have been swithering a bit, may have been a bit doubtful, and the same message is given to us. Throughout all that you have been through, this past 25 years, but in particular, the past 2 years, and the fact that we still live in a pandemic situation, throughout it all, Jesus is still the one on the throne. Jesus is our hope, the one that we turn to in all our situations. So we've had the therefore, and now after that comes a series of, well, let us. And we start with drawing near to God with a sincere heart. How do you do that? And we're going to get on to Menti in a moment, so you can get your phones out. How do we do that? We live in two worlds, the world of space and time and the worldly influence around us, but also in the world of the spirit and eternal things. How do we stop ourselves being drawn into the things of the world? And we do that by drawing near to God, not necessarily just once a week, well, definitely not just once a week in here, but in the mornings, at noontime, and afternoons, so many different ways and times that we can use to draw close to God. It might be church. It might be being here today. Maybe you're a worshiper, and actually singing praise to God is what enables you to draw close. Or perhaps it's serving on the sound desk at the back. And for some people, that serving is actually what enables them to draw close to God. On a sound desk, making a meal for someone. I want to give you a couple of minutes now to gather, if you wish, with a couple of folk around you and just talk about what it is, what enables you to draw close to God. What resources do you have to help you draw close to God? Now, we have a Menti, so if you have your phones with us, with you, by all means, take them out. Connect up to our Wi-Fi, the center's Wi-Fi, which is free, and there's no password, rather. And the password for our discussion today is 1584. Oh, it's up there. 1584-3402. And from that, you should be able to see all our slides like you could last week, okay? So whether it's the Lectio 365 app, whether it's walking in nature, whatever it happens to be, chat to each other. I'm only going to give you 2 minutes because we've got things to do. We have to keep moving. And just put a few ideas up there that you use, things that encourage you that might actually spark in other people as well. So what have we got up there? Prayer, worship music in various forms appears all over. Oh, while swimming. The Lectio 365 app, the Bible. Ooh, knitting as well. Hairbrush, okay. Really? For the second week running? Somebody must have seen it last week. I made reference to it last week, and it's clearly back. So there's lots of things up there. There's ideas, something maybe you've not thought of before, out walking, crafts, serving other people. Actually, I offer this just as an insight. I noticed it last week as well when you were talking about what really matters to you as a church, that actually communion doesn't seem to come in there. It doesn't jump into people's minds, and similarly, the whole baptism thing as well. So I just find that it's maybe not as important as a church at the moment as it maybe has been in the past or will be in the future. And that's perhaps because it's not quite as available at the moment. My mother, oh, how lovely. Family. The Bible in different verses. Other Christians. Journaling, yes. Excellent one. Especially if you're somebody who's a verbal processor, likes to chat through things, actually journaling can be a good way to do that. I think those results will go out during the week. Yeah, we can. So let's move on to the next thing. Let's move on to the next, let us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. I wonder what was going on with the Hebrew Christians that caused the writer to write this. I wonder, were they drifting back to their old days and their old ways as well? I wonder, did the original recipients of this letter need the reminder that they are free of the restrictions of the past, of the Jewish Torah? Jesus is enough. I'm just going to share a quick story here. I visited Jerusalem and I visited Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust, the Jewish History Museum. And in the basement of that, there is what there is in so many museums. There is a restaurant somewhere to get refreshments. But because of Exodus 23:19, which states, do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk, as their way of putting that into practice, the Jewish people would have two complete kitchens. And in the basement of this museum, there were two completely separate restaurants, completely separate staff. There were completely different seating arrangements. You couldn't go from one to the other. And there was a barrier up the middle so that they couldn't meet. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. The Jews interpreted that as meat and dairy must not meet. They must not come together. And so they had completely different kitchens. And in a Jewish home, they would have a completely different set of knives, set of bowls, utensils, so that nothing with meat would be contaminated by dairy. And so the intricacy of the rules took up most of the Jewish, I guess, Jewish women's lives and actually implementing that in the household. And so you can just imagine the freedom that comes from the releasing of those rules and just being told and taught, actually, Jesus is enough. So maybe it was that. Maybe it was the rules. Or maybe it was actually a bit more mundane than that. Maybe some of them were disappointed. Maybe some of them didn't find their life as straightforward as they wanted it to be. Maybe some of them struggled with ill health, finance problems, coping with fear and anxiety. There's lots of things will have been thrown at this young group of believers, but actually they're urged and we're urged, don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Persevere. Hold on in there, guys. And so for us today, our only hope is Jesus. We have heard some amazing, some wonderful news today about Laura coming, and that is just such an answer to prayer. But she will be your minister. You know, she will not be your Messiah. If you're looking to her for your answers, if you're looking to her for the solving all the solutions, she will disappoint. She's human, like the rest of us. She has as many days in the week as we all do. We hold to Jesus to transform us as individuals, us as a church, and from that, reaching out into community and beyond. That is where our hope lies. But sometimes, and we have had two really tough years. You have been through such a lot, and I am just so privileged to have been allowed to walk alongside with you and to see you all come through that period. But it is okay to ask the question, what things might have caused you to give up on the hope that you profess? So you can choose to answer this by chatting with each other, but then I'd encourage you to put an answer, a word or two, into the Menti as well, so that we can just see some of the things that disappoint in our walk with the Lord. So whether that's ill health, whatever, you can have another, say, 2-3 minutes, and we'll do the same again. Can you scroll down, Shona? Is it? Yes. Surprise, the pandemic is in there. Loneliness, exhaustion. Yeah, segregation as well. Sickness. I think some of us can probably relate to many of those things. And actually, there is something of a relief in looking at them and thinking, okay, maybe I'm not alone. Maybe others have similar things causing doubts that I do. And having read that list of things that maybe cause doubt in people's mind, hold that in your heart. When you think about actually knowing that, how might I spur someone else on? How might I encourage someone? How might I encourage or meet with them in some way? Yeah, George Floyd being up there as well. It's such a big picture. A lot of the stuff is small and personal, but actually there's worldwide stuff going on as well that causes us doubts and fears. But we're encouraged. Let us, the writer says, consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And the way out of all those doubts is actually to do these things for each other where we can. To serve one another, to love one another, because actually in spurring one another on to love is an action. Love is an action. Love is a choice. It is something we choose to do for someone. It can be a remote and quiet prayer, but it can also be turn up to their house with a meal or a phone call or a text or a message or sending someone a funny meme, a song that has meant something to you that actually lightens someone else's heart. And so our next question is a more personal one. What could someone in church do this week to show you love? I would really like this not to say, I'd like Brian to take out the bins, please. So no names, okay? No names mentioning. We're not specifically targeting people. I want you to do this for me. But what would it look like for you to be shown love by the church this week? Oh, go for coffee. I'm up for that. Text, ask how I am. Send a card, kindness. Send a message to me. Reach out with a text. Check in on me. A present, there we go, somebody wants a gift. Somebody else wants quality time. Someone else maybe wants heard. Meet with someone, some quality time with someone. Invite me for a meal. I feel a bit isolated. I rarely ever get a text from folk. Just to find out how I'm... Oh, it's gone. It went halfway through. Do you know there's a similar theme running through a lot of that? We want contact with each other. Whether it's actual physical face-to-face, go for a coffee, do something, or a text, a phone call, something like that. We're still getting some. No. Can you add to these later? Yes, you can. Right, okay. So we can. I'll move on now. And the next two slides, I'm possibly going to go back and forward to them. Okay, these are responses that you did last week. Who's in our church? Okay? And I just wanted to just pick up a couple of points from them very, very quickly. According to that, we have 31 young people in primary school or younger. Okay? Now, even if we got that wrong, because I know we were, if everybody thought of our young people and keyed them in, then that would inflate the numbers. But say even it's 15 to 20, a lot of them aren't here. A lot of them are finding it difficult to actually bring their children here. And yet, one of the biggest things that you talked about, what was important to us as a church family, was the fact that we had children in church. So if we're going to have children in church, we somehow need to make them more welcome, make it easier for their parents to bring them. So that was one thing I noticed. The other, perhaps, the 18 to 30s and the 30 to 50s, if you're working full-time, it's actually quite hard to then volunteer to do stuff at church as well. And sometimes churches who have got a huge number of retired people actually have got a lot of people who can spare a few hours because they have time. So you can see that time is maybe restricted for people in this church because you are younger. And next slide, thanks, Shona. And this one, which best describes you? I think probably the only one I want to pick up from this is housebound, okay? I can think of at least three people who are housebound, and I'm probably underestimating. There will be more than that. By their nature, housebound people find it hard to get out and to get here. And so you may think, oh, that's just one person at the end. It's absolutely not. And when we're going through this next bit, to bear in mind, just to think about how we might actually reach out to other people in the congregation. You've been doing lots of thinking, lots of hard work. I do appreciate we are getting closer to the end. However, I'm going to take 5 minutes out to sing another song, okay? And I've chosen this song because it was done all during lockdown. It's a Brighton church, and they made the decision to go out, to be together, out on the road. It was just after sunrise that they recorded this. And they used it to encourage their church. And I just want us to take 5 minutes of encouragement. I also think it will maybe help change our mindset a little bit, because we're going to get on now to see, well, and hear some ideas of how we might do church so that it suits the housebound, so that it suits the young fam. People don't come. Maybe they think they won't be missed. Maybe they think they don't fit in. Maybe they feel they're not a part of it. But actually, we are a body of Christ together. If one part is missing from White Inch, all of us suffer. And so, by encouraging one another to come along, to meet in whatever way that looks like, and think back on some of those responses that people gave that would help them be encouraged this week, a meeting, a text, a card, a coffee, whatever it is, look out for one another. The other questions that we have are, how do we continue meeting? What would it look like to put on a hat of somebody, a group you're not in, and say maybe to look at the point of view of church as a retired person? What might it look like to be church, and what would help you to be involved and supported by church? Think about perhaps what it might look like, in particular for a young family, to come along and to be part of church together. And we have seen that we can do things other than 1.5 hours in here on a Sunday morning. It can be online, it can be via Zoom, it can be walks, it can be sitting in gardens, playing in gardens, whatever that happens to look like that works best for you. This is an opportunity to answer some of those questions on what it would look like to do church that would include more of us. And that's why Shona's talking about the Church on Tuesday thing, to try and pick up some people. We know that not everyone can do everything, that there will be some things that some people manage to do but others won't. But what we're looking to do is to include all of us at some stage in the week in being together to worship and to support and encourage one another. I'm going to finish there for now. The stuff will be online. I would really encourage, if you're one of those groups that maybe has difficulty engaging with church, to please either speak to one of the leadership team or to put ideas into the Menti so that it's all in there in the mix. What this series is doing is just trying to do a little bit of the John the Baptist thing, okay? To just pave the way and just get ourselves sorted, not all our ducks in a row, but yet look at what we can do to make life easier for us post-pandemic. And then Laura, when she comes in, God willing, will pick up and run with some of those bits and pieces. But this is something we all need to do. It's not dependent on having a minister. It doesn't need a minister to push it. It needs us to realize that we are church together and we need to encourage one another. I want to finish